All this week, CFAX is talking about mental health in the lead up to Bell Media's Let's Talk Date, February 12th. My next guest is Bruce Saunders, who was once a psychiatric patient and has been screening movies and talking about mental illness for 20 years. Just great to have you on the show, Bruce. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Pamela.
I am new to Movie Monday, and some of our listeners may be as well. Describe for us what that is.
Okay, well, sometimes I do feel like it's the best-kept secret. I've been doing it for all these years, and still, it's new to some people. It's basically, I was a patient in the Art Martin Pavilion and with bipolar disorder, and I discovered this beautiful little theater downstairs, and I thought it would be a really good option for patients to be able to sit and focus on a well-chosen film rather than just television that was chosen by popular consent on the ward. I had some bad experiences with that, and I thought, well, I could do better than that, and here's this gorgeous little theater. It's 100 seats, 8 by 12 foot screen, and it had a kind of a quaint video projector at the time, so I've upgraded it over the years, but it's a really nice space. It's a nice space for discussions too, and as I realized the potential of showing films as a catalyst, talking about all kinds of things. Besides mental illness, we talk about just life challenges and even things like the pipeline issues and the environment and what all. So we quite often have discussions and even bring in filmmakers about filmmaking, and it's just creating a bit of a community around film. So I realized that gradually there were a few patients showing up, a few people that from my support group, a mood disorder support group, and the target group, I thought, but there still wasn't a really big crowd showing up. It always works better in a theater when you have a large audience. So I started inviting the public in, and that created a whole other purpose and environment in theater. It's a healthy, fun crowd, people with all kinds of interests, and people from the regular public can learn a little bit about people with mental illness. I have bipolar disorder myself, and I keep on showing up. So it kind of breaks down some of the things that people have about mental illness and the hospital itself.
We have Bruce Saunders on this program up until noon. If you'd like to join the conversation with us on mental health and film screening, it would be great to have you. If you'd like to go, the phone number is 250-386-1161, or you can send me an email, talk@cfax1070.com. I'm interested in your personal story, Bruce, that brought you to this, if you're comfortable speaking of it. What was it that prompted you to be hospitalized?
Well, I didn't realize it that I had bipolar disorder until I was 39. I was struggling a lot of my life with depression and just feeling kind of like I wasn't quite fitting in. And I was quite functional. I'm a gardener. That's my profession, and I've been working at various places in town like St. John's the Divine and North Park Manor for over 30 years, constantly looking after the gardens. But I was working under a burden of depression, and I kept trying to figure out ways to cope with it, various therapists and that sort of thing.
So you were getting therapeutic treatment for depression at that point?
I was, yeah. But I had a history of bipolar disorder in my family. I lost a sister to suicide when I was 24. She was 26. The coin didn't really drop that might be a factor in my trajectory, and it wasn't until I was 39 that I made a suicide attempt. I was so frustrated at not being able to find help. That's a very common thing. People go for many years looking for help and not being diagnosed.
What did you go through in trying to find a proper diagnosis? Like how many doctors did you see?
Various counselors. My GP gave me a couple of courses of antidepressant medication, but he was new to the job. One of the terms he used was, this works for 70% of the people 70% of the time. And when it didn't work, it was a very light dose of antidepressant. Give me another one with the same story. And I, being depressed, you can easily criticize the treatment that you're given. It's easy to be discouraged about it. And I thought I'd tried everything, and I was dealing with depression. And
If I might just interject here in the middle of your story, but I think you brought up an interesting point here with antidepressants and kind of a new science, isn't it, in terms of not really knowing what's going to work.
That's right. Yeah, it's not a very exact science. I wish it was more exact, and it's getting better, but the treatments, it's pretty much you have to be patient. That's why they call us patients.
Did you have a sense that your GP was learning along with you?
Yeah, and it's really important if you have a serious issue with a mental illness is to get good, competent help, a psychiatrist and doctor that you can really talk to in a two-way discussion. And the biggest thing with depression is hopelessness. The biggest thing is to keep studying the situation, keep keep learning and keep trying to fine-tune and look for solutions.
So how much of it is patient-driven? There's so much information on the internet. How much do you think patient who is unwell should bear the responsibility for being a major participant in trying to heal themselves?
The idea that the doctor will heal me and I'll just take the pill and it'll be all better is pretty antiquated. You really need to work at all aspects of your life, exercise, you know, whatever spiritual help you can pull together, especially community. That's why I'm really big on building community with Movie Monday. As soon as I realized what there was available, a support group, I joined a support group while I was still a patient in the hospital the first time I was hospitalized.
You finally got to the point where you did need to be hospitalized. What was it that took you to that important point?
I was so discouraged, and it's a way of thinking that depression can cause that I thought that the world would be better, my family would be better, and I had a couple of young kids and a wife and a home and a job if I could stand it. All these things were in place, but I felt it was hopeless and that I was pretty much had tried everything, 2 doses of antidepressants and a bunch of various therapists through my 10 years of seeking help. But I felt I tried everything, and so I made a suicide attempt, really serious suicide attempt. And that's when I got linked up with a psychiatrist and given a fairly aggressive course of antidepressants.
You talked about the hospital. You were suicidal and decided either on your own steam or someone else's, you ended up in a psychiatric ward.
I was taking a course on the 6th floor, a psychosocial rehab course, and I wasn't doing well in it. I was too depressed to really function well in the course and got discouraged. And, you know, Christmas time, New Year's, it's a hard time to get through if you have these problems and feeling estranged from community and that. So I did make a suicide attempt, and my worker that was guiding me through the program said, okay, we got to get you to emergency, see a psychiatrist, this is serious. And that's where I got hooked up to a psychiatrist for the first time. And yeah, he put me on some pretty strong antidepressant medication. And as happens with many people, I realized that I had a bipolar nature. When I look back, I could recognize it, but I wasn't terrifically high ever. I was just a little busy at times, and then I would slip into depression. I'd get exhausted and lose some sleep, and I would become a little depressed again. So that's what I complained about to everyone along the way. And that's very common. So, yeah, quite often the patient doesn't really even give the right information to people that are trying to help them with getting better, because you don't complain about being busy and happy and full of life and talkative and getting lots of things done. That's the high side of it. It's the mild side of the high side of bipolar or manic depression. And it becomes much more serious. You sort of equate it to, you know, the sliders on your television for tint and color and volume and all these things. You can have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and more of that or less of that. It can be a little bit attention deficit. I have a learning disorder, which really frustrates me. So I have a hard time remembering things, and it can be really discouraging. So that's one of my sliders over to the far side. It varies with every person. Everyone's different. Untreated bipolar disorder can become much more serious. If you have a number of episodes where you get quite high or even psychotically high, it can be harder to get it into a manageable pattern again, even with medication.
And this was, what, 20 years ago that you went through this, or how long ago was this?
First time I was hospitalized was 24 years ago, about now.
And in terms of finally getting to a psychiatrist and getting the proper diagnosis, have you seen that change over the years, the knowledge GPs, had you seen a psychiatrist sooner that you would have been diagnosed sooner, or was it just a matter of that's the way things were done 24 years ago?
The way things were done, and I see people still struggling with the same these days. You're always reluctant to sort of go over the precipice to admit that you have a mental illness. So you might be struggling and just hoping with psychological help you can work your way out of it, learn your way out of it. Some very bright people struggle with mental illness until they're just about crashed, as I did. And it's not about intelligence. It's partly about a medical balance in your brain. It can be helped a lot with medication, but also some psychological guidance and just practical things for taking some of the pressures off one's life that can bring these things to a head. So it's a whole package. I don't know if it's being done much better now. There's some very brilliant medications available now. Every psychiatrist has a different attitude and a different preference for, like, getting your car diagnosed. Get a bunch of different prices and a bunch of different solutions. You're not necessarily going to be way better off these days than you were. But one thing I really recommend people, don't try and do it alone. Try to hook up with a support group. Just talk to people as much as possible. The internet is a great source now. There's lots of information there. You have to sort through it, of course. But especially to do it as a group project and share the problems, share the knowledge that other people that are coping well with the illness, some of the ideas that they can share with you can be invaluable.
So Movie Monday is one of the things that you've established to help. And tell us how that works. You screen films, I understand, and then talk about it.
As its simplest, I just show a good film. Films that I like, I show every week, except for Labor Day, every Monday. Sometimes we have an extra show, like on a Wednesday. We're collaborating with the Friends of Music organization. You may be talking to them soon. But, yeah, sometimes I get ambitious and show extra events. But basically, I put on an event every Monday, and it's just a good reason for people to get out of whatever, sometimes the isolation that they're in, or a lot of people come just to see whatever I'm showing. That's the real flattering thing, when people just come to see a movie and just participate in a discussion, learn a little bit, or see a movie that they might have missed in the theaters, or just to participate.
Are you drawn to films that deal with mental health?
I certainly am, and find that almost all of my programming in one way or another is about the human condition. I'm not so much into car chases and totally fictional wild stories, the Harry Potter, and that sort of thing doesn't often grace my screen. I really love stories about people coping with difficulties in their lives. It can be fictional, it can be documentary. I show a lot of documentaries, but I find those stories particularly fascinating to me, and my audience seem to respond well with them. And there's a little bit we can learn from all of these stories.
Do you think that people watching the movies have an affinity with the people on screen? They themselves are suffering from mental health issues, that they can empathize, or maybe feel that they found a kindred spirit in the actors on the screen, or in a documentary sense, the real people?
It really acts as a catalyst to get conversation and thought going. Even if you leave the theater and talk with your friends on the way out, or your family when you get home, you see a fictional account on the screen, or a factual account, a documentary, and it's amazing to me, like over the years that I've been conducting these discussions, it's amazing to me how people open up. They say, well, that's just like my Uncle Bill, or that's the kind of thing that I went through when I might be showing a film about dealing with cancer, or Bobby Fischer Against the World, a chess match, and the tension that's involved there, and whether or not he had Asperger's syndrome, or whether he was just a bizarre guy. It's just so interesting when you put up a really well-presented story of whatever nature on the screen. Very often it opens up discussion. We don't always talk about the films, but very often we do. And sometimes we have just amazing people, just resources in the audience, that we showed the film Passage, which was about an explorer that went looking for the Franklin Expedition. And we had people from the Orkneys, people with roots in the Orkneys. We had a man come who had recently explored for the Franklin Expedition, stood up and talked about some of the reasons why the Franklin Expedition failed. They were eating from cans that had lead in them and poisoning themselves, and that caused a lot of their troubles, plus the fact that they weren't. So we discuss these things, and the resources, the people that pop up in the audience, they come to see the film because they have a bit of an investment often in the story, family roots that go back or what have you, and it's fascinating.
What about the films that portray mental illness in sort of a cliched fashion, perhaps One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest, Girl Interrupted? Do you screen those kinds of films? And if so, what do you think about Hollywood's portrayal?
Sometimes Hollywood is bang on. Sometimes mental illness can be so broad. So you can't say, well, that would never happen. Girl Interrupted, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, that's just people acting their faces off. And then I started realizing that for a lot of women, that film really, they really connected. Young women, they really had a connection with the characters. And I watched it again, and I watched it with the director's commentary, and I showed it with my audience, and we had a huge, really in-depth discussion. And it was a learning process for me. I don't know everything about mental illness. I just know my little corner, my little experience. And it can really broaden out the discussion. And even a film that I don't like this one called Spider. It was made by Cronenberg, that was essentially about a young man with schizophrenia who killed his mother, I think it was. He murdered. And it was kind of a spooky, creepy film that I hated. I just thought it was like 90 minutes badly spent when I first saw it. But a lot of people told me they thought it was a really interesting portrayal of schizophrenia. So I showed it, and we discussed it, and I held my position. I still think it's a creepy, poor movie that does no service to the understanding of schizophrenia, but found it a really interesting discussion. So even if I don't like the portrayal, sometimes I'll show it just to kick it around, and you can learn from bad examples as well as true examples.
A catalyst of sorts.
Yeah.
It's an interesting film that you pointed out to me that's coming up called May I Be Frank. What's that about?
It's about a man. It takes place in San Francisco. He's 54 years old. He's overweight. He's got all kinds of bad habits, addictions, and even bad relationships with some of his family. And he gets a chance to overhaul his life. Some guys in a raw food restaurant that he attends, the question of the day is, what would you like to do before you die? And he says he'd like to fall in love again. But he's so embarrassed about his body. He feels so discouraged that he's the way he is. And he's conducted himself himself the way he has in his life. So they undertake in 42 days to see if they can make a change, get him started on a big change in his life. And they're amateur filmmakers, but they did a brilliant job of capturing this man's story. He made a huge change in his life, not just in the 42 days. He makes a substantial start, and then several years have passed, and he's going to be Skyping in. We'll be seeing him and talking with him after the show, and he's about half his original size, and he's a pretty happy guy these days. He's accomplished a lot of things that he hoped to, and he found the kicker of the film is that he found the person that he needed to find to love as himself before he could really fix up his other relationships and have new ones.
The biggest love story, really.
Yeah. So it's not just about losing weight, it's about remaking your life, and it's very promising, and I just love to show stories like this. I'm a bit addicted to those kinds of stories in my programming.
We have a comment here through our email from Dawn. She writes, "Hi there, thank you so much for sharing something so personal, but in doing so it helps many others. I look as any mental disorder as I would a diabetic, just a small deficit that our bodies need a little adjusting with medications that our bodies aren't producing. I wish more people could get help or a diagnosis and live a healthier, happy life. Thank you for sharing. You're a strong man. Good on you, Dawn."
Hey, well, thank you. It's really strange how by opening up about my situation, in the first 6 months of doing Movie Monday, I started to do that, and it made a huge difference for me and everyone around me, my own family. My father was incredibly proud of me stepping out, and almost every time I talk to someone and say, "Oh, yeah, I have bipolar disorder, that's why I'm doing this movie program," people say, "Oh, yeah, well, I have a brother, or I have my next-door neighbor's kid, or whatever," and it's so common, but it's so under-revealed because people are a little bit afraid of what people might think, and so they kind of hide it and exert an awful lot of energy trying to not let people know. And I've found that it did nothing but good for me to be open about my situation, and it seems to kind of radiate out people. It just kind of normalizes the situation, and there are solutions, there is help, and the more you open up about it, within reason, you can't just sort of put up a billboard saying, "Hey, I'm mad," but it really does help to be as open as is practical in your life situation.
But as Dawn says, you know, she views mental disorders as, you know, our bodies are lacking certain things, and is that changing the perception that, in fact, even though, to my understanding, there isn't a blood test or a definitive test, are people's perceptions changing in terms of mental illness as being just as legitimate in the need for medication and treatment as diabetes?
It's still a little more complicated than diabetes. It's not just a simple medical imbalance, biochemical imbalance. It's part of it, and biochemical help is terrific. I use medication constantly and find it really has helped me. But there's a lot of other stuff you have to do, just practical things, eating right, whatever help you can get to think right, you know, have a adjust your attitude about things and be as sociable as possible, exercise, all these things can really help. It's a holistic sort of thing, and it's a little more complicated than just a medical condition because the behavior, it's how we treat other people, is very much affected by how we're feeling.
We're going to take a call now. Hi, Tom in Sydney. Thanks for joining us.
Listening to your conversation, I've been reading Wheat Belly.
Oh, yes.
And of course the doctor that put all the time and effort into the book basically associates wheat to everything that you're talking about, from diabetes to schizophrenia, and just wondered if you had any comments on that.
Yeah, again, it could be part of the solution for sure. Diet is really important. A lot of people are just washing down really expensive medications with a big bottle of Coke and a hamburger perhaps, and it's really not sensible to just depend on one thing to work and not consider the other factors. So, yeah, Wheat Belly is one thing. May I be frank? There's another one. A guy goes on a juice diet that changes his life considerably. Fat, Thick, and Nearly Dead is the name of that title, and I've shown it. And diet is really important for sure. It's not.
Well, it's amazing how wheat has been, like in this book, anyways, it's practically associated with everything that's not good for you,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, the way it attacks your body mentally, physically, just looks like it's not supposed to be there.
Tom, it sounds like you would probably enjoy May I Be Frank. That's play on Monday, the 25th at 6:30, talking about a man changing his diet.
Oh, interesting. Where's that?
That's coming up at Movie Monday. I'm collaborating with HEMA organization, the Home of Yoga and Acupuncture, to put this film on. So at 6:30 on February 25th at Movie Monday. Our website has all the details, and you can look at trailers and stuff. It's really an elaborate website that we built up over the years. A fellow just started as a volunteer years ago and does an amazing job on our website. So it's moviemonday.ca.
Thanks for that phone call. As you're mentioning, that there is a multitude of factors potentially. And but getting to that point where you can actually do something about it. Often we hear diet, exercise, a good night's sleep, but if you're suffering from a mental health disorder, how able are people to do those things without getting some sort of psychiatric help intervention before they can get to that point of self-help?
It's one of the hardest things, is many people go for years without getting help. I don't have a quick fix or portal. You have to be persistent. You have to believe in recovery. And it's really important to find other people who are dealing with the same sort of thing and prevailing and doing well. I try and be an example of that, but I have my days as well. It's not something you just fix and it's over. It's a continuing process to try and stay on top of life generally. But definitely approach the mental health system and be persistent. Approach support groups, because there's a wealth of information from people who have walked that road already and have found a lot of solutions, and just the feeling that you're not the only one, you're not isolated. And there's organizations like BC Schizophrenia Society in town that serves anxiety disorders as well as schizophrenia, and they have amazing resources there. Just be sure to reach out and don't just suffer silently.
Do you think that going to Movie Monday is a move for some people? They can find a community there?
Absolutely. It works for me. You know, just having things organized in your day. So many people have nothing to get up for in the morning and set up volunteer jobs for yourself and things that necessarily need to be done that will motivate you. So many people get sort of sidelined in a bit of a backwater where they just don't have a purpose. And set up, fill your dance card up with things like Movie Monday, or Friends of Music have a bunch of music programs. Serve coffee at our place, whatever. There's lots of things.
Bruce Saunders is the founder of Movie Monday, and he has mentioned his website. There are a whole slew of movies coming up that could help anybody on planet Earth. And if you have a mental health disorder, there's that there for you also. I'm Pamela McCall. Thanks for joining us today.